It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 20th day of July, 2022. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go also if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round. And if you do pop in there, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Roger and Squeaky, and capably moderated for the time being by me. Hopefully, you know, Sparky takes Wednesdays off like a doctor does, and or did. I don't even know if that is still a thing. Pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan, will be along in fairly short order. Hi, I'm Robin. And it is, of course, Prayer Meeting Wednesday. And there he is, Steve! It's always so good to see you. Steve has just a wonderful, good, kind, and decent nature. Yep. Summon and I will arrive. And there's no mention of any devils in here. Now quit that. It's prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Mm-hmm. And the little old blue-haired ladies and little old blue-haired men have been busy in the fellowship hall kitchen for prayer meeting Wednesday fellowship dinner. You know, it being right hot outside, they decided to go for cold subs for dinner this evening. Now, in some parts of the country, they might be called torpedoes. Other places, they might be called grinders. But we just call them subs here. And they got some wonderful, wonderful sourdough hoagie rolls. And they got some of that good German bologna and some salami and some pepperoni and some ham and some turkey and some bacon and set it all out where you could build your own. And there were potato chips, a little bit of onion dip. And folks just went through the line, built what they wanted. There was mayonnaise there and mustard and oil and vinegar, ranch. There's always ranch now, and because that's an entirely separate food group. There was provolone and an American and Swiss and hot pepper cheese. I always opt for the hot pepper cheese myself. And it was a build your own sub kind of night. I think they just didn't particularly want to get all burned up inside the fellowship hall kitchen, and I can certainly understand that. And, you know, there was some green salad to be had and lots of different kinds of dressing. I tried a new one. It was a balsamic fig vinaigrette, and that was just elegant. It was lovely. There were blueberries and strawberries and raisins and craisins and stuff like that to throw in there. There were nuts and all kinds of spring greens and whatnot, even though it's high summer. And folks ate heartily, and they put together three or four of those four-layer pies with the baked crust and the cream cheese, sweetened cream cheese filling, and one was butterscotch, another was lemon, another was deep dark chocolate, and another was coconut, and they were all covered with artificial whipped topping. And the deacons went wild on that, of course. And then, of course, the deacons, having had their repast, trundled their massive bulk up the couple of flights of stairs and wandered out into the parking lot where once I joined them in smoking with the sinners, but in fact have not done so for 22 months now that I've been a non-smoker. And so that left it to me to appear at the door with the solar-powered cattle prod crackling away eventually, and they have learned, the deacons have, to carefully extinguish their smoking materials. I don't think they were all cigarettes, do you? No. And they got to moving like a herd of gnus, or punsters that they are, perhaps gnurs. And they came bumbling and stumbling and rumbling right past me, right through the vestibule, right past the bowl of desiccating butter mints, and on down the center aisle where they're now standing, waiting, brethren and sisters, and waiting, for the call to begin to pass those heavy brass-bound velvet-lined plates amongst the faithful as we try to make up an $805 fundraising deficit and get some bill paying done here at the Cathedral of Common Sense. Yeah. And thanks, of course, go out to our 20th day of the month subscribers. That means thanks. Thanks go out to our dear friend David in San Diego, drawing ever nearer to his first day of law school there coming up next month. Thank you, David. That took us down to $7.95. And thank you to our dear friend Reverbo, the human man. Thank you to Armand. Thank you to Vincent. Thank you so much to Dr. John in New Mexico, and our sincerest and warmest condolences upon his recent loss. It's never easy to lose a parent, and it's even more so when you lose both of them within a year of each other, within months, really. Thank you. Thank you to Ralphs. Thank you to everybody who acts as a partial sponsor to the program. We're looking for new subscribers. We badly need them. We have room for 5 new subscribers at $10 apiece to have their subscription for the first month at $10 doubled to $20, courtesy of our pal Zed in Iowa. And if we can meet that, Zed will also kick a little something extra in for Brad and Desi over at the Green News Report, which would be fantastic, just wonderful. So thank you, Zed, and hopefully somebody will take us up on that. It would be lovely if we could. Stephen New York asks, buttermints, shouldn't we be replacing the buttermints with hand sanitizer at this point? Well, we had a meeting of the deaconate. And, Steve's not sure. We did put up some hand sanitizing stations for a little while, but the deacons noticed that it bears a striking odoriferous resemblance to vodka, sometimes tequila. And we had a couple of prayer meeting Wednesdays where the deacons weren't entirely with it, if you know what I mean. So we're encouraging people to carry their own hand sanitizer, because otherwise the deacons will get into just about anything, being deacons. They'll hand sanitizer, aftershave, rubbing alcohol. I've seen the deacons go after those little alcohol prep squares that you use when you're testing your sugar and whatnot. They'll tuck them up between their cheek and gum like it's some sort of I don't know, like it's some sort of a pouch of smokeless tobacco or something. It's a horrifying thing to behold, these deacons. You got to remember, in the religious hierarchy of things, the Pope at Rome doesn't recognize the authority of the Greek Patriarch and the Anglican Archbishop of Canterbury doesn't recognize the authority of the Pope at Rome, and Baptist deacons don't recognize each other at the liquor store. Just pointing that out. Well, that's true. We'll have to add that to the next tray, Ron and Raleigh. Raleigh says, hey, where's the Havarti? You know, it's not a party without Havarti. That's so true, and I'm particularly fond of the aged variety, and if not that, then the dill Havarti. Randy Radar says they're called hoagies here. Mm-hmm. And all different words for the same basic kind of goodness. You know, we had pickles and sliced onions and fresh sliced tomatoes out of the garden. Oh, it was heavenly. Just yummy. But nonetheless, we've got $795 to try to raise because it's bill paying all the way to the end of the month. Every month is. It seems like I just go from one bill to the next and live in a constant state of anxiety. If we can knock down that $795, that would be fine. And so with the deacons standing by with their heavy brass-bound velvet-lined plates, burgundy velvet, I might add, and little PayPal and Patreon buttons in there, and the mailing address for the horn written around the edge, you know, in script lettering, the horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, West Virginia, 25801. Well, they're going to begin to pass it, and I'm going to ask the Minister of Music if she would please step forward. She has a strangely deep voice, but I know a little bit about that. Lead us in the offertory prayer.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang. I love you. Welcome to Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Oh, I'm calling on you, please, right now, as the plates go passing by. You just pass that plate on by and get up off of your seat and onto your feet and scrunch and wiggle and waggle and waddle and come on out into that center aisle and come on down that blood-red aisle and fall upon your knees. Yes. And lay your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense of flowing through you from the server on high. I am naughty nun, aggravated abbess, archpope, uber rabbi, ultimate imam, animated animist, antagonized agnostic, vicarious vicar, maximum metropolitan. Robin Kincaid. And it is prayer meeting Wednesday. On the horn, yes, amen, hallelujah, glory, bask in the warmth, the glow of loving kindness, amen, and amen, and amen, yes. Well, I tell you what, I got just a place for us to begin with this here prayer meeting Wednesday. Because, you know, there ain't no love. There ain't no love at all. Glory. Amen. There ain't no love at all. Like the love that passeth all understanding. Mm-hmm. Like the love of Pastor Alfonso Joseph. Oh, a man of the cloth is Alfonso Joseph, the pastor, the brother, the minister, the servant of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes. Reverend Alfonso Joseph has several churches. He's an entrepreneurial minister, I suppose we might say. An entrepreneurial minister in the Bunnell area. I may be mispronouncing it. It may be Bunnell, B-U-N-N-E-L-L. Anyone in the state of Florida who has the spirit of prophecy and knowledge can tell me what the correct pronunciation is. But it's looking like Bunnell, rhymes with funnel, and. Like I said, he's got several churches in that general area of Florida. And, the church is called Vision Cathedral. He's got him a Facebook page and such. The funny thing is, that's what it says on the Facebook. And, of course, the Facebook is authoritative on such things as this. But, oddly enough, the authority of the Florida Division of Corporations don't have no such record. And he's also a principal with Vision Soul to Win Crusade Ministries down there to the Palm Coast. They've been ministering the gospel to the heathen since about 2005. They're still active. And he's a principal. I don't mean like principal of the school, what hands out the spankings and paddlings and whatnot. He's a corporate principal with Vision Covenant Connection Incorporated. Pastor Alfonso Joseph loves nothing more than ministering to the young. Because when you get them young, you can kind of keep them right there in the church the whole time. And so it was that he tried to explain, Reverend Joseph did, he tried to explain to the local constabulary that he was just chilling with a 15-year-old boy in the car, yes. It's mighty hot these days down in Florida, and that's why Reverend Joseph had felt the urge, and I certainly understand, to took in his top off. He took off his shirt and was sitting there in the car chilling with the 15-year-old boy. Probably had the air conditioning going, and you know how that can work on, you know, you're all hot and sweaty, and then the air conditioning, and it just brings your temperature right down. You do. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it just makes you think, it makes you feel things you wouldn't otherwise feel. You get so cool and refreshed by that air blowing on you. The next thing you know, well, Reverend Alfonso Joseph just happened to have a 15-year-old boy in his mouth. Yes. So it appears that maybe a good God-fearing, upstanding Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, probably a fundamentalist. Well, probably know how he votes, too. Might just be one of them people that the Republicans has been so damn worried about of late. And apparently rightfully so. You know, the groomers? Oh, wait. No, he can't be a groomer. Well, upon further inquiry, the Reverend Alfonso Joseph did tell the police, namely an employee, a deputy of Sheriff Rick Staley. He said, well, no, see, what it was is we met on the grinder. And until just a couple of months ago, I was happily ignorant of what goes on the grinder. And then I done found it out. And I tell you what, it's like being on the sidewalk in Las Vegas where they're snapping and popping all them pictures of them naked ladies trying to get you to order you up a sex worker or come to a strip show. And I said, yeah, I mean, it's just, hey, look here. I remember that from my one lone trip to Sin City oh so many years ago. And looking at him, quit trying to give that to my youngins. We had no idea. But apparently when he finally did get around to explaining to the police or the sheriff's deputies that, well, it wasn't exactly a special kind of witness, and after all, that in fact they'd done met up on Grindr. He said, yeah, but he told me he was 18. Only he wasn't. Sheriff Rick Staley said, this sick and twisted individual preyed on a young child. How dare him speak in such a way of a man of the cloth and a pastor of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, really? Great work by our deputies and detectives on arresting this child molester that took advantage of a child. Might be a little bit redundant there, but this is another prime example of see something, say something. Well, in this case, it was hear something, say something. It worked, and we thank the concerned citizen who alerted the sheriff's office of suspicious activity. Sounds to me like some good upstanding citizen of the county drove by and said, I wonder why that feller ain't got his shirt on and that boy is sitting there in the car. Maybe I better, but it wasn't see something, say something. So, no, he didn't see nothing. It was what he heard. And we'll kind of leave it there. We're already at the NSFW portion of the program. Oh, Lord. Whatever shall we do about these followers of Jesus? I wish they could. Jesus loves the little children. You're not Jesus. Get your mouth off my kid. Yeah, I know. Yeah, those Republicans were really interested in finding all the groomers and whatnot. They might not spend so much time fussing with trans people and gay people and whatnot. And maybe looking, I don't know, amongst the pews of their various and sundry houses of worship. Yeah, it seems like it might be a good idea. I could be wrong, but somehow it seems like it might be worth the effort. Don't you think? Yeah. But being prayer meeting Wednesday, we've got plenty to delve into the various and sundry charlatans and dens of vipers of the right wing. Or, oh, they're terrible, terrible upset, because you might remember yesterday during the program, we talked about the breaking news that the House had actually passed marriage equality protections on a federal level. Of course, had to sort of make it clear that nothing was going to come of it, because it would go across to the Senate, where it would languish in a pool of blood and dust on the desk of the most loathsome creature ever to come slithering and crawling and creeping and belly flopping out of Colbert County, Alabama, namely Machiavellio McConnellio, the Senate Minority Leader, who's the real leader of the Senate. You know that. Because, of course, it's a common sense bill. It just makes sure that the marriage is heretofore celebrated, and that may be celebrated in the future by people of the same sex, or same gender, or however you want to describe it, get as much, well, have the same rights as white cis straight folks who happen to get married. And of course, Mitch McConnell said,
the Supreme Court decision in Obergefell versus Hodges was a dastardly overreach of states' rights. It should fall to the several states to declare who mayst and mayst not get married up. As long as we're not talking about Loving versus Virginia, because I do think my lovely bride Elaine might not cotton too well to being told that she ain't married to me, and seeing as how I made most of my fortune by marrying her, I know I wouldn't cotton to it worth a damn.
But you know, that's gonna,
oh, states need to sign that.
And of course, Mitch McConnell, being the senior senator from the Commonwealth that gave us sister clerk Kim Davis, who felt quite certain that she was experiencing something identical to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, when she had to go to jail because she couldn't be bothered to follow the law of the United States of America and issue a marriage license to a couple of lesbians. Yeah, so yesterday, after the news of the passage of the bill, over there to the Family Research Council, which is now, by the way, a church. I know, that just beats cats fucking. But it is. The Family Research Council has been reclassified as an honest-to-goodness church. And yet, somehow or another, they're still out there doing politics for all they're worth. But their leader, Tony Norman, yes, Mother Bates Perkins, done said on Tuesday that that Republicans, some of whom actually voted for the bill in the House, were turning into that old enemy, political cowardice. And went on to say that ever since the Obergefell decision of 2015, that Americans have lived under judicial tyranny. Yeah. How about that? Takes a whole lot of nerve to say that people getting married who want to get married is judicial tyranny, but celebrating the fact that some 51% or more of the citizens of this country have been stripped of their constitutional rights. But then again, this is, after all, Tony Norman, yes, Mother Bates Perkins of the Family Research Council. But Perkins was right proud of representing Chip Roy of Dribbling Dick, Texas, or Gonorrhea Gulch, or wherever it is he comes from. Because Chip Roy done said, Democrats want to take away different policy choices, merge based on race, merge based on sex, that this body didn't define, that state legislatures done did define. I'll let you know if I ever figure out what the hell that even means. But, yes. And it was. It was Loving versus Virginia that struck down the ban on interracial marriage because the old Commonwealth of old Virginia. But, and that, of course, enabled the nuptials of Slappy and Jen. Sounds like a really bad vaudeville act, doesn't it? Slappy and Jen. You ever reckon they sit down to some cards with friends, and all of a sudden Slappy hollers, "Jen!" And she goes, "What, honey?" Never mind. Right-wing blatherskate Todd Starnes complained, and I don't know how he did this with a straight face, and then again, I'm not sure he has a straight face. He'll probably be caught shirtless in a car with a boy in his mouth sometime later, too. But he said the Republican Party's liberalizing itself. They've made the calculated decision that evangelicals will never abandon the Republican Party. But if the establishment is wrong and the evangelicals bolt, they will never win a national election. Well, I'm kind of hoping that after Dobbs, I mean, if there's anything resembling good coming out of this, that, and of course they won't, but it would be nice if the evangelical base would scurry back behind the baseboards. Like they do at 3 o'clock in the morning when you turn the lights on. But I don't expect them to. And a guy we haven't heard about in a while, Pastor Gordon Chappie Klingenschmidt, there's a new drug cocktail out there called PrEP, and if you get on PrEP, your Klingenschmidt probably won't fall off. But he told the strange and benighted people who sit alone in the dark watching his program, he told them that they have to support a federal constitutional amendment to limit marriage to one man and one woman. That's going to leave a whole lot of unmarried people in the new United States of America, ain't it? If only one man and one woman can get married under the Constitution? Oh, wait, the one man and the one woman, that'll be Slappy and Jen, won't it? But the real trophy goes to a white supremacist Christian by the name of Lauren Witzke. And she sounds like she's had about at least 1,000 milliliters of really bad rot gut whiskey. Gay marriage is the slippery slope. Well, it don't have to be slippery, but sometimes it's more comfortable that way. Responsible for not only accelerating the destruction of the American nuclear family. Meltdown. But it also fast-tracked the chemical castration of children. What? Normalization of pedophilia. No, it hasn't been. And became the vehicle that... Wait. Like I said, she takes the cake. You don't want any of this cake. It's probably yellow cake. Can we start a war against her? It became the vehicle that soured relations with Russia, resulting in a proxy attempt at starting a world war, all because the gay mafia was seething at Russia for not letting their degenerate values flourish in their neighborhood. Well, I'll be dipped. I had no idea that Mother Russia was a neighborhood. Gay marriage is also responsible for shoehorning most of the progressive moral agenda to promote and sensationalize the most degenerate of satanic behavior, including child trafficking. Not including the 15-year-old boy that was with the minister of the gospel and receiving some special intentions. It's time we take this fight up a notch. It's time for Republicans on the state level to wage a scorched earth fight for the soul of our nation. Wonder who she wants to see scorched. Need we guess? It's time to do to gay marriage the same thing we just did to Roe. Not only will we reestablish the holy sanctity of marriage, you know, the property transfer between one old dude and one younger dude of one female human being in exchange for any number of goats and camels and chickens and sheep and no pigs, gold and pearls and baubles and this and that. And yeah, holy matrimony. But with it, as Clarence Thomas, and she wrote Clarence Thomas's name unironically, put very thoughtfully in his Dobbs opinion, it's not an opinion, honey, it's a concurrence, okay? There's some vocabulary that goes with writing about Supreme Court shit. We'll roll back all of these quasi-Marxist values, except interracial marriage, that don't appear anywhere in the Constitution, the same Constitution that our founders spilt blood for. Not all of them. Thomas Jefferson spilled things, but weren't blood. And, of course, he had folks that he could tell to clean it up, including the half-sister of his dead wife, Martha. It's time for one brave Republican governor or state legislative branch to take the lead as they did on Roe and strike back at the epicenter of the behavior that resulted in pedophiles slinging their junk in and on your children's faces? Interesting. Because last I checked, most of the junk slinging seems to be taking place among, well, Republicans. Lately, there have been leftist saboteurs infiltrating the GOP conservative ecosystem. What are they, carbon dioxide? As they did with institutions like the government and Hollywood in the past. It was the Jews, Henry. It was the Hollywood Jews. Positioned goals aimed at poisoning the American mindset and destroying American Christian values, which are the bedrock of our nation and our identity. It's the same 20th century communist subtle playbook, that's the Swiss pronunciation, subtle, and the exact same agenda. If they can break you on your cherished Christian values and make you waver on your children's innocence, all the easier it is to sell and push an even more sinister globalist economic agenda on you. How in the fuck is an economic agenda more sinister than... There's no need to sell out our nation in order to appease a bunch of spiritually bankrupt and corrupt leftists looking for a quick vice fix to address their spiritual malaise. Well, as a leftist, I can promise you, I have absolutely zero spiritual malaise. It is well with my soul, as the saying goes. That's how come I'm the naughty nun and the aggravated abbess, etc., etc., etc. It's time to cut this radioactive poison off at the source. Well, there was some talk of a nuclear family, wasn't there? Gay marriage is equally, if not more, destructive to our nation as the drugs and criminals pouring over our borders. I have yet to see anybody OD on a hot dose of Chinese fentagay, but maybe I'm just not paying attention. The ball, she says unironically, is one unknown hero's court to ignite this grand pushback. Maybe a grand backup, Lauren? I don't know. Some might say the odds are overwhelming, but with God on our side, we cannot lose. Well, when you lose, maybe that means God's not on your side, Lore. Evil certainly did not stop our biblical heroes from overcoming the odds, and they were odd. I mean, you know, when you're Abram down in Egypt talking to the Pharaoh, and he goes, your sister over there. That's your sister. Oh, yeah, she's my sister. She's kind of hot. You mind if I get it up? Can we date? Oh, sure, you're Pharaohness. You go ahead and date. I told him you're my sister. You what? It's going to make me some serious coin. Get on over there. Y'all, I'm his sister. Yeah, yeah, our biblical heroes from overcoming the odds and didn't stop our founding fathers when they signed that document. I'm not sure which document they're talking about. Maybe it was the terms and conditions for their, you know, for, I don't know, eye parchment or something. But out of all of this rambling lunacy, there is some truth. In referencing Slappy Thomas, she sees what the strategy is going to be. One or more Republican governors and state legislators, I'm thinking maybe Alabama and Texas, Arkansas, West Virginia. Because once one does it, they'll all line up because nobody wants to be left out on this kind of evil shit. They will pass a statute. Because, see, Slappy gave him a roadmap. He said, what you need to do is you need to, and we saw it, say, in Alabama when the attorney general there marched into court and told the federal court to lift the injunction on life-saving medical treatment, on the ban on life-saving medical treatment for trans kids, and said, you got to do it because of Dobbs, because there ain't no more right to privacy. And so, depending on whose legislature meets first, and, you know, if you're Governor Meemaw or Governor Greg Asbot, each of whom are actually to the right of each and every Iranian mullah, maybe you even call a special session at extreme expense to the taxpayer because, well, Jesus. And maybe you call that special session expressly for the purpose of passing a bill which your aforementioned Governor Meemaw, Governor Hee-Haw Meemaw, or Governor Greg Asbot will then sign into law that declares that based upon the findings in Dobbs, there is no right to privacy in the Constitution of the United States and there is no historical precedent for marriage equality. And that the state of Alabama or the state of Texas has the right to, pay attention to this word, can you tell I've been waiting all day for this? Nullify the ruling in Obergefell until such time as the Supreme Court does so itself. Now, this gives me the horrors. On a personal level, I'm divorced now. But what they're going for there means that I can never get married. Again. To anybody. They have no constitutional rights to fall in love and decide I want to spend the rest of my life with someone. Well, never mind. There's somebody I want to spend the rest of my life with. But that ship sailed and sunk. And all that has to happen is those, you know, Texas, Alabama, whoever, and, you know, the rest of them fall in line. And in each and every state where this bill is passed, signed into law, then up will jump the American Civil Liberties Union, other organization, Human Rights Campaign. And they'll file suit. And the federal court will find that the law must be enjoined because it is at odds with the stated law at the time of the Supreme Court of the United States and therefore of the United States. And it'll have a trial in the federal court after the injunction. The plaintiff, the ACLU, or whomever will win. The various and sundry attorneys general will file appeals, and there will be to various circuit courts of appeals. The courts of appeals will rule, and there will probably be a split in the circuits then, because, you know, the court of appeals, say, that sits in Atlanta or New Orleans or whatever, will rule one way, and the courts of appeals that sit in, say, San Francisco will rule, the Ninth Circuit will rule another way, and the court sitting in Richmond, the Fourth Circuit, will rule another way, and so we will have then what is called a split in the circuits, which will mean almost automatically that the Supreme Court of the United States, upon petition for certiorari, will accept the case. And, you know, the time it takes, we're probably looking at 3 years out. Maybe we're looking at a decision in, say, the last week of June of 2025. And every last maggot state that does this will craft their arguments expressly along the lines laid out in the concurring opinion to Dobbs, written by Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Slappy Thomas, a man who perjured himself during his confirmation hearing and remains to this day a credibly accused sexual abuser. Sorry about that, Ms. Hill. Professor Hill. And every right-wing gang of freaks and misanthropes and mugwumps and troglodytes in this country will take heaps and heaps and heaps and heaps of tax-free donor cash, and it's all tax-free, hallelujah. And they'll funnel it into right-wing law firms like Liberty Lobby and Alliance Defending Freedom. And the Thomas More Society and whatnot, and vast phalanges, armies of right-wing pettifogging POS lawyers, who will then write amicus curiae briefs, and the Supreme Court will, like I said, rule in the last week of June of 2025, and they will overrule Obergefell versus Hodges. As sure as God made little green apples and they give you the runs and a bellyache if you eat too many of them, they will overrule Obergefell versus Hodges. Based on the dirty business that they did in Dobbs. And the sad thing is, it does not require my busted magic eight ball with the cracked screen that says answer hazy, ask again later. There's nothing hazy about this answer. I did not have to put on my prophesying robe. All I had to do was read the concurring opinion in Dobbs written by the aforementioned credibly accused sexual abuser and have a functioning, working understanding of these sick theocratic fascists. And lo, there it was, the handwriting upon the wall. Many, many take a lufarsin, or whatever. And well, there are some open questions. Just as the Dobbs Court could not order the re-impregnation of every woman who's ever had an abortion, God knows if they could, they would. They may stop short of invalidating previously celebrated marriages and just say that it can never be done again. Sort of the way that the rise of Jim Crow worked. Oh, sure, there were some black guys in the Congress, but that shit ain't gonna happen anymore. And it sickens me to talk about this. It breaks my heart. I hate the stress that this puts my dear friends under. Wondering with every passing day. How long a loving marriage will last. They're breaking. And there is one answer to all of this. Get loud. Get active. Somehow or another, whatever toll it takes, stay outraged. Manifest that outrage in every manner that you can legally accomplish. Give these sick freaks on the Supreme Court not a moment's peace. You know, they got federal marshal protection, right? They don't have the Secret Service. You know, I'm not encouraging violence against any of these the disgusting animals, but they do need to understand that their actions, their immiseration of tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of people. It comes with consequences. Or we can just sit on our hands and we can go into these midterms wondering where the fuck that pony that Joe Biden promised us is. And we can watch a Republican House and Senate pass bills to ban reproductive care on a federal level. A federal marriage ban. Because see, if a Republican Senate gets hold of a federal marriage ban coming out of a Republican House, what'll happen is Mitch McConnell will call Joe Manchin over and say, "Hey, Joe, come here. Come here." Yeah, we're border rivals and everything, but I mean, I'm Kentucky, you're West Virginia. Hey, lean over here and go, bing! In his eye and say, "Fuck the filibuster. Thanks for not doing anything to eliminate it back when y'all could have done some goddamn good for the country, because we are gonna fuck you so hard now, Joe." Well, I mean, not you. You're in a straight marriage and you're white and wealthy. So, but no, we're gonna fuck West Virginians, and Joe will say, "What? You're gonna fuck some West Virginians? Can I help?" No, but they will. If a Republican abortion ban gets out of the House and goes into the Senate, the filibuster will be done. If a ban on marriage equality of a federal nature gets out of the House and goes to the Senate, the filibuster will be done. If a bill overturning Bostock that says you can't fire somebody just for being gay or trans, if a bill overturning that Supreme Court decision gets out of the House and goes to the Senate, the filibuster will be done. And there will be some mumbling about states' rights and whatnot. Hell, if they get the bit in their teeth enough, the Republicans may go after the states' rights to have legal dubage. And the only hope we have is our outrage. Their outrage will motivate us to get active and stay active. And yes, vote like your life, your marriage, everything depends upon it. Because it does. Matt in San Francisco says, 12 members of Congress arrested yesterday. I was so excited until I found out they were Democrats engaged in civil disobedience. I thought maybe for a hot second that the criminal Congress members were being taken down. They played the time-tested Manchin switcheroo on me. So gullible I am. Signed, Yoda.
Gullible I am.
You ever notice how much Yoda sounds like Fozzie Bear? I wonder why that is. This shit's terrifying. It's enough to make you cry. Enough to break your heart. Maybe it's enough to get us off our asses. And take these marauding legislative Huns seriously. Is that an improper reference, the Huns? Should we replace that just with barbarians? God, we're so liberal here. We worry about it. Yeah. Damn it, Matt continues. They've uncovered my husband and I's ties to Russia and our underhanded planning to destroy straight families through thought waves sent through their toasters. Back to the drawing board. Yeah, well, see, what you want to do, give up on the... No, they've already got the toaster. What you want to do... Ninjas, Matt. You and hubby? Ninjas. That's why they're called ninjas. Because they've snuck into people's houses. See how it works? Well, I mean, I assume it would. Ralph says, oh my, I didn't realize that Loving versus Virginia would apply to Miss McConnell and his wife. Well... Elaine ain't exactly white now, is she? And granted, Mitch isn't exactly human either, but, you know, I think we're splitting hairs, or at least tortoises, at that point. Hell of a start to this prayer meeting Wednesday, don't you think? And I really would love to have your thoughts on all this. This is some evil, toxic shit. By the way, yesterday, as we were talking about the Maryland primary, I mentioned the fact that a seditious, pro-Russia, right-wing, racist Confederate might win the Maryland nomination for Attorney General. And guess what? Well, Michael Perutka is now officially the nominee in Maryland for the Republican Party in the race for Attorney General. And another maggot, Dan Cox, is the nominee for governor. Both of them, by the way, this past April, showed up at a cue ball meeting called Patriots Arise. It was back in 2014 that Michael Perutka said that the Maryland General Assembly was no longer a legitimate governing body. Because, and wait for it, the Maryland General Assembly had violated God's law by supporting marriage equality. And that as a result of that, none, not one of the laws, didn't even have to have anything to do with marriage. Not a single law, not an appropriations bill, nothing passed by the Maryland General Assembly was, quote, legally valid and legally enforceable. This guy has a law degree and is actually a member of the State Bar of Maryland. You got to wonder, I mean, a lot of lawyers, not Maryland's not a big state, but there's a lot of lawyers there. A lot of regular folks, too. And you got to wonder how an insurrectionist and a seditionist still has a law license in that state. Back at the 2012 National Convention of the League of the South, he led the crowd singing Dixie and called it the national anthem. Two years later, he quit and said,
well, I had no idea that they were a racist organization.
After you've led the crowd and singing Dixie and called it the national anthem. Yeah. Perutka's a Christian Reconstructionist, founder of something called the Institute on the Consummation. Among other things, that group of mouth-walking knuckle-breathers has called for a religious test for holding office. That must mean that they want to rewrite the Constitution and have a national religion of Christianity. The Institute on the Consummation also says that the goal of government, and he sounds a little bit, you know, a lot like Lauren Bobblehead Boebert. You might recall that Clanny Oakley said within the last couple of weeks or so, there ain't no such thing as separation of church and state, and it is the church's job to tell the government what to do. Well, that is the exact policy position of the Institute on the Constitution, who says that the government's role is to enforce God's law. I don't know about you, but I'm going to miss shrimp. And clothing of different, blended from different fibers. Fuck, are you kidding me? Bacon. God, I'm going to miss bacon. Pulled pork barbecue? Ribs? God's law! Yeah, but I'll be missing that anyway, because I won't be able to afford it. And Michael Perutka also says that the government of the United States, or any state, has no legitimate authority to house, feed, clothe, educate, or give health care to anybody. And even though he's the Republican nominee, he's had some harsh words for the Republican Party.
And their brand of worthless, godless, unprincipled conservatism.
And so, nonetheless, with all of that going before them, the Republicans of Maryland said, yep, he's our boy. Wow. Are you convinced yet? Because I am. Maybe I'm just oversensitive. But I don't feel like I am. These are fascists. Plain and simple. When fascism comes to America, it will come wrapped in a flag and carrying a Bible. Or something like that. Consider, for instance, a Christo-fascist by the name of Dalton Clodfelter. No, really, that's a real name. That's not something that you would read in an article in Mad Magazine. Oh, here comes Clodfelter. Oh, what's that, Matt? Matt says, "Oh, you may miss shrimp, but think of those gals that can have sex with their fathers." Life is about trade-offs. You're my daddy. For we will never find husbands in this barren land. You want another slug or ripple pop? Now you do him, Chlamydia Gene, in the name of God. Now, Dalton Clodfelter. You gotta wonder about the etymology of that name. You think maybe he was the one of the early Clodfelters was a practitioner of that bullshit pseudoscience that said that the bumps on your head could, and maybe he was particularly good at finding the stupids, and so by finding the bumps on their heads, and he became the first Clodfelter. Oh, well, he's a fascist. And he really, really gets off on the ideas of, you know, making people like me shut the fuck up and imposing evangelical fundamentalist Christianity on everybody in the country. He is, of course, he's one of the young white male Nazis. I'll leave straight out of it because, well, I just don't feel like that probably will hold in the long run. But Nazi.
We are fast approaching an anti-white society that puts white straight men in positions where they will be looked at as less than in the workforce. It's hard to believe considering white people built this nation. Now the nation is seemingly turning its back on white people, going out of its way to teach in schools that if you are white, you are evil. And when you graduate and you are white and you'll have a harder time finding a job. In fact, right now, white people are being replaced. Why else would they want millions of illegal immigrants to pass through the border every year? Why else would they want the birth rate of white Americans to decrease? Why else would they be promoting...
Is it too much to ask just for definitional purposes who they are? They. Oh, wait, I already know who they are. Don't... You're already typing, Brother Deacon Asa. Don't even bother. The Jews! They. And see, this is the Nazism for the third decade of the 21st century. He's got an off the rack suit on and a muted patterned necktie and a white dress shirt. Yep, there's Labor Man right on top of it. The Jews. Mm-hmm. And he's all spiffy and clean too. And he's got a nice little Nazi haircut, but he doesn't have a fade going. Doesn't have the Richard Spencer haircut. And nobody's come up to him and decked him on the sidewalk yet. Not that I would suggest anyone should ever go Nazi punching. Then there was the whole white people built this country part. Shall we talk about the capital of the United States, Dalton Clodfelter? Mind if I come over? No, I wouldn't want to, but if somebody could, they could probably get all phrenological on your head and find some bumps, and they'd be Clodfelting too. I hate Illinois Nazis. I don't know if this guy's from Illinois, but, well, let's make him an honorary Illinois Nazi just for purposes of the quote.
Interracial marriage on every advert in America. It's simple. The establishment hates white people. I'm not saying I'm for an ethno state, meaning I believe the nation should be made up of only white people. Because that just isn't true.
Well, of course not. You gotta have somebody to hate. I mean, if all you got straight, white, cis people, you're gonna be in kind of a bind now, aren't you? You gotta have a handful of brown people to hate, and of course, you know, you got some indigenous folks, you can hate them. Probably still gonna be a handful of to-gays and to-trans. You know, just enough to point at and spit on.
What I am saying is I believe in a white majority.
Now, how are you going to establish a white majority? Oh, wait, I think I've already got the answer to that one, too. Voter suppression? Ah, gerrymandering? Come on. Jim Crow laws? The new Jim Crow? Jim Crow 3.0? I'm sorry, Mr. Kincaid, but your voter registration does not match the sex assigned at birth on your Alabama birth certificate. Because they're going to have to expand Jim Crow.
I do believe whites should be celebrated for creating the modern world. Whites deserve that. Who is committing the violent crime in this country?
White people.
Well, for the most part, it's blacks.
No, it's not. Not by a long shot. That's just statistically wrong. And see, this is the bench. I don't mean like the courts. This is the bench. This is the up-and-comers. I mean, this guy might be, I'm pretty sure he's old enough to vote, but not much older than that. And maybe he got an Ivy League education, hard to tell. But what you just heard here is a brand new show. And it will be on various and sundry platforms. Among other things, he started out with, why is this a surprise? It isn't. He got his start with Nick Fuentes. You know, the guy that Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cuball, marginal trailer queen, went and palled around with. The guy who says that, men having sex with women is gay. No, really, don't make me play the clip again. Fuentes founded something called Cozy.tv. And founded it so anti-gay, anti-women, anti-black, anti-Semitic activists had a platform where they could do those things. And there was plenty of money for it. And so he then got out of A-ball, if you think of Cozy.tv as being A-ball, and he moved up in the minors to Red Voice Media, which is run by that dude we've heard from in the past named Stupiders. Stu Peters, Stupiders. And he's got a show there now. And it's all kinds of different, to the extent that, you know, a whole bunch of white people are different. Not nationalists, I don't even like that term. Nazis. The right dissident, he calls himself. Among other things, Claude Felter has blathered on about the Great Replacement Theory. And he's gone on and on about interracial marriage, even though one of his heroes is Slappy Thomas. But he's a minor leaguer. But the majors are places like Fox News, TV, Radio Rwanda. And by honing his chops on the great replacement theory and the idea that whites built America, you watch. You watch. I'd say he's got at least a 60-40 chance of eventually filling in for testicle-toasting Tucky O'Rose Carlson when he needs a little time off to take his white family fishing in Montana, where, by God, he doesn't want anybody to speak harshly to him in front of his young white son. Jot it down. Dylan Clodfelter. Oh, sure, Ron and Raleigh says, I'll bet you, I guarantee you, Mr. Clodfelter, whatever, would deny being a racist or anti-Semite or just a hate-filled piece of shit. If the white folks are the majority, who's going to do all the heavy lifting? Well, maybe Slappy can declare that the 13th Amendment was passed illegally because it was passed without the votes of the southern states. Huh? Yeah? Jeremy in Vermont says, this creep, I suppose he's heard of the new smash hit, White Built This City, on hate and free labor. Yeah, that's clever. White built this city. That's a song about San Francisco. Matt probably didn't take too kindly to that. I'm sorry, Matt. Maybe I'm misreading things, Darlene in Connecticut says. Maybe I'm overthinking. Maybe I'm gooning on Amy Klobuchar and other Dems too much, but in watching a dual interview with her and Sheldon Whitehouse yesterday by, I don't recall, maybe it was MSNBC or CNN, she was smiling and giggling and joshing with the host and Sheldon during a serious interview about the dark money compromise Super Congress. The substance of what she said for the most part was fine, but her practically jovial nature was not. She stated matter-of-factly that the Super Congress is now taking Americans' rights away. She stated the obvious. Like it was to be expected. Like it was a given. I'm questioning the Super Congress's right to even do this at all, but Ames doesn't appear to even be entertaining such an existential question. Oh, I know you'll say, Darlene, it's no surprise, Ames is an institutionalist. Now, don't you go be putting institutionalist in my mouth. But I'm not sensing the sheer terror and urgency you and me and other peons rightfully feel. Well, she's not going to feel it. How can you expect somebody to feel something they're incapable of feeling? They are immune. The closest they got to feeling a little distressed was January the 6th, 2021. Darlene says, I just think there are Democrats who really and truly don't get how serious and immediate the repercussions really are here. They act like there's time. There isn't. Biden has yet to declare a national emergency for women's health. Women are already dying or near death now because of the overturning of Roe. Because of Dobbs. Women can't divulge crucial confidential medical information if it pertains to pregnancy in certain states now. Women's free movements around the country are under threat now. Not to mention, but I will, radical social change in how women and men relate and interact with one another, and the possibility the birth rate will drop precipitously as men and women are rushing to get sterilized because of the overturning of Roe, because of Dobbs, are real possibilities. No. Democrats like those useless Republicans are just going to take their full August vacay. Vacay. Devoutly to be wished. And it's interesting, Darlene, that you mentioned the fact that there is a mad rush on between men and women to get sterilized. it's a pity that it took this long to convince men that maybe a less than 1 hour snip-snip procedure that's not particularly that invasive beats the hell out of forcing the burden of contraception entirely onto women. But yeah, there's more men wanting vasectomies and more women wanting their tubes cut and tied than ever before. And Darlene mentions a precipitous drop in the birth rate. And yet, there's the Dylan Clodfelters of the world and various other right-wing freaks blathering on about they wanting to depress white births and that they are the establishment. Dylan, you clod. I would know. I felt her. It appears that maybe it's our most noble, most puissant, dread sovereign, supreme Catholic majesties of the Supreme Court who lowered the white birth rate. Oops. Does the Pope know? Does the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops know? Oh, that's okay. That's another one of those places where... everything that I laid out to you about how the attack on Obergefell will play out, it's the same script. The state of Texas, the state of Alabama. One of these days, Mississippi's going to be first in... Oh, wait, Mississippi did Dobbs. Son of a gun. They got to be first in something. All they have to do is convene a special session of the legislature, pass a bill that says contraception is illegal in the state of Texas or Alabama. Greg Asbot and Governor Hee-Haw Meemaw will immediately sign it into law, and we won't have to worry about a mad rush on tubal ligations or vasectomies or birth control pills or Plan B or condoms. And just like in Vegas, if they can catch a woman counting days, like if they can catch you counting cards in Vegas, you don't get to play anymore. Right. Can you imagine what the last week of June 2025 could be like? You remember the trauma that we felt over Dobbs? Along with that stupid law about forcing Mainers to pay hate schools to teach children to hate? Along with the law in New York. You know, by the way, a crew member of a TV show shooting in New York was gunned down. Last I checked, they still didn't have a suspect. Guy's job was to clear traffic because, I mean, our buddy Dan Fisher has told us about this in the past. Yeah, you got crew members whose job is, and he's probably a union guy. Clear traffic along sidewalks so that they can shoot the TV show. You pay a small fortune to shoot in New York. And somebody popped a cap in him to death. But the trauma that came out of all of that, imagine June, the last week of June 2025, when the right to contraception disappears. When the right to marriage equality disappears. When the right to be gay disappears. When the right to be able to work your job and not be fired for who you love or how disappears. And if I felt like I was being even remotely hyperbolic, I would tell you that I was. I feel like I'm just being clear-eyed and altogether rational. Randy Radar says, you're worried about sex and marriage. I'm worried about survival. What in God's name are you talking about, Randy? You can't get much more existential than this. Lawrence versus Texas involved a statute that allowed people to be imprisoned for having sex in a way that the state of Texas deemed intolerable, that is, to wit, sodomy. Sodomy between straight people. Sodomy between gay people. Sodomy between bi people, among pan people. It don't get much more existential than that. In 1983, Ron and Raleigh says, Orrin Hatch put forth a bill in the Senate to overturn Roe, and Joe Biden voted for it. He later changed his mind when the bill was introduced again and voted no. Doesn't engender a lot of trust in me. P.S. Remember, Orrin gave us Merrick Garland. Well, I mean, Orrin didn't give us Merrick Garland. Merrick Garland was already on the D.C. Court of Appeals. Orrin suggested he would be an acceptable fit for the Supreme Court. And now I've flip-flopped on that issue. God, if only we'd gotten Merrick Garland on the Supreme Court, maybe Joe Biden could have chosen an actual attorney general. I know. There I go. Funny how the topics that infest Prayer Meeting Wednesday can suddenly become existential in nature. Oh, hey! Everybody, of course, knows that Herschel Walker... Of course there are no bones in ice cream. Never mind, he didn't say that. It's just a joke. Everybody knows Herschel's running against Senator Warnock in Georgia. And I think I introduced us, at least, to the competitor with Herschel for most embarrassing black man running for a political office, Jerome Davison, also a former NFL player who apparently got too many blows to the noggin. He showed up on the show that's hosted by Pete Santilli and explained that he's running for office because the Antichrist. No, really. We all know who the Antichrist is, right? Jerome will tell us.
I believe that the separation of church and state was not for the state, not for the church not to get involved in the state. It was to keep the state out of the church. And so many times these pastors and these churches, they hide behind that. And they...
You see, he doesn't sound like a complete idiot like Herschel does. But if you take a minute and analyze that statement, you realize that he is, in fact, an idiot. And saying that he is one of two black men running to be vying to be stupidest black man running for political office is not in any way to discount stupid white people running for Republican offices. I mean, we got Michael Perutka in Maryland, for instance, him and his law degree and singing Dixie as the national anthem and whatnot. But the separation of church and state was created not to keep to keep the state out of the church and not to keep the church out of the state. This does not survive anything resembling logical scrutiny, because the problem is once the church gets into the state, then the state via that church is one is going to want to mess around in other churches that aren't that church. This is why, for instance, in the pre-revolutionary period, the colonization period, this is why, for instance, Pennsylvania, Penn's Woods, was founded as a haven for Quakers, because the ruling elite in Britain didn't like Quakers. And this is why Maryland was founded as a haven for Catholics by Lord Balmer, because the ruling elite in England didn't think much of Catholics either. And then there's, you know, Rogues Island and Providence Plantations, founded by Roger Williams, because it turned out that theofascism had already crossed the Atlantic and formed up in the Massachusetts Bay Colony, and that they weren't particularly tolerant of anybody who wasn't a shoe buckle wearing black clad Puritan witch burner. All of this, however, would of course be lost on Jerome Davison.
Hide behind their 501c3 because they're afraid to get involved in politics. Well, hey, listen, Jesus was involved in politics. The Bible is completely involved in politics. You have King David who's involved in politics. Daniel the prophet was more of a governor than he was a prophet.
You mean King David with the 1,052 wives and 700 concubines? That King David? Just, I made the number up, but it probably ain't far off.
He was more of a governor. He was a political figure. Nehemiah, the one in rebuilding and restructuring the wall in the broken down Israel, was
had to get a line about
very
the wall
political
in
figure in his time. And here's another thing. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who's going to come back on this earth for 1,000 years and reign on this earth 1,000 years, is a political figure, and the government shall be on his shoulder, according to Isaiah 9. But the Antichrist is also a political figure.
Yes.
And he's also
Ooh.
Making his move in this last day.
Really? Who is he?
I see it being birthed and manifested through the Democrat Party. I see a spiritual battle brewing in this country.
Oh, yeah.
And evil has manifested itself through the Democrat Party. I see them as
Democratic
a criminal cartel.
Dick.
I see them as sex traffickers, human traffickers, supporters of all types of evil.
You know, somehow or another, it doesn't enhance Jerome's position that there's an off-camera voice going,
They are drug dealers, weapon dealers, and they need to be stopped.
Yeah, no. Hey, okay. I mean, granted, Joe Manchin is trying to single-handedly eliminate life on Earth, but, you know, apart from that, he's not much of a Democrat anyway. Oh, dear God, I don't even know if I can say this. Stop turning your back on white people, Robin. Neo-anti-dismiscegenationist shill. I got through that pretty well. I'm giving myself a damn cowbell just for pronouncing that mouthful. Well, there you are. The Democrat Party's birthing up a bunch of antichrists. Because that's what it is, you know, when you try to pass a bill that says that that children shouldn't go hungry. That's some antichrist shit right there. That's what that is. When you try to pass a bill that would further eliminate poverty among the child population. Yeah, that's antichrist. Sure. But of course, Jerome Davison running for Congress in Arizona stand will never get near anybody who will ever ask him a hard question. Because, among other things, that is something at which the Republicans are very good, making sure that their candidates never have an opportunity to be embarrassed or called out or in any way held to account for the radical theofascist garbage that vomits forth from their putrid gobholes. Yeah. Let's run over to the phones and check in with Tracy. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, honey. How are you?
I'm pretty good. You seem a little far away.
I'm tired. It's been...
There you are. A little better.
And I'm stuck in traffic. And I'm just listening to the people and, you know, about the white people. I'm tired. And these people are making it very difficult for me to, you know, like and understand and forgive certain white folks. So,
well, spare a little disdain for Jerome here.
Oh, yeah, because, no, wait, not Jerome. Is he a brother?
Yeah, the guy that was just talking about the Democrats as having Antichrist babies.
So now we got him, we got Jesse Lee, and now we got him.
Yeah, but Jesse Lee ain't running for Congress. He is.
Oh, not yet. Well, see, the thing is, Jesse Lee knows he couldn't win, and he couldn't win for couldn't win out here. There's that. It wouldn't happen because, you know, no. But anywho, I'm just, you know, I feel like I'm just kind of before I forget, so. You can text me the information later after the show or email me. So I know you were saying how if somebody becomes a subscriber, then who's going to match the first month?
Well, there are 5 slots open, courtesy of our buddy Zed in Iowa. The next 5 $10 a month subscribers get their first month subscription doubled. Becomes 20. And we got us a $795 fundraising hole, and if we were to do that tonight, that'd be basically it'd knock it down by $100, I think I got that right.
If 5 people, that's $50.
Yeah, and then it gets doubled, so that's $100.
That's 100. What was your figure?
We'd go from $795 to $695.
Yeah, something about right. So okay, so you know, tomorrow's my birthday, and so
I did know that. Happy birthday!
Thank you. And you know, June 21st is Jen and I's June wedding anniversary. And December 21st is, you know, the winter wedding anniversary. So let's do this. When I get off the phone with you, I guess what I got to go to the, like I said, my brain's not working. You're going to have to send me something just so I can figure this out. Because I'm literally just coasting right now on fumes. So I will actually, after all these years, become a monthly subscriber at $10 a month.
Well, thank you. That's lovely.
The 21st is one of those. I'm not going to forget that number. So, and since a lot of stuff happens for me on the 21st, I will choose the 21st of the month for $10 a month.
Well, thank you, Tracy.
Well, you know, I'm not like, you know, I know you're great. I mean, it's in the grand scheme of things. That's the least I could do. But, speaking of the least I could do, so I saw this movie yesterday on HBO when I should have been trying to go to sleep. It was called Last Night in Soho, or Soho. It was trippy. It's about this girl who's in present-day London, and she rents a room in this old building. And allegedly, then she starts seeing the girl who used to live in that room, but it's in the 60s. So she's doing a kind of time travel thing and witnessing what happened with her life over the course of a week or so. And she's already had, you know, has a tenuous hold at best on her mental health. So people think she's crazy. Oh, my God. I don't usually go for movies like that, but Robin, it got me, and it wouldn't let go. Oh, and you know who did it? Terrence Stamp.
Really?
Terrence Stamp. Yes, and those old girls from, Diana Riggs. From, why can't I think of the name of the show?
Diana Rigg from The Avengers?
The Avengers, yes. And there's a twist at the end, and I'm like, I kind of saw it coming, but not completely. And I was sitting there like, holy shit, did this really happen? Yeah, it's because you have HBO Max, don't you?
Yes.
Yes. So yeah, it's definitely. I think it just dropped because it was out in the movies. I think like last year, or maybe this year. I don't know. And I wanted to see it, but I never made it to the movies to do so. So you're talking about how evil and hateful certain aspects of your folks are. Well, I had my very first, it was bound to happen. I had my very first Karen encounter.
Overdue, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, I live in L.A. It was way overdue. I mean, I take that back. I had a Karen encounter years back, but it was before you called them Karen. But, yeah, so yesterday I was at the car wash, you know, those drive-through car washes that you drive through, and you park and vacuum your car. So I did the car wash. Now, there was, like, maybe five or six empty stalls. And I drove over to, there's one handicap stall. I mean, that's all the parking space to vacuum. And typically, I don't park in it, even though I have a handicap placard. But it was closest, that was also the stall that was closest to the office, because I had to change my credit card for the monthly billing. So as I'm driving, and I'm at Karen, who was in the parking space next to me, that I was about to park in, she stopped what she was doing and watched me. And I'm like, oh, well, here we go. She watched me as I pulled into the disabled parking space. And she toddles over and she says, well, you know this is a disabled parking space. And I just looked at her and I quickly and pointed to my disabled placard that was hanging from my rearview mirror. And I'm like, you know, I said, who are you to say anything to me about where I park? It is, I said, don't you think it was obvious to me that I was pulling into a parking space as a disabled parking, considering that I drove past four or five empty spaces before I decided to park here? I said, why is it even about your business? And she's like, well, I'm disabled. I said, well, if you're disabled, why did you park in that space? And she's like, well, you know. And I said, just get away from my car. And I'm tired of you people. Just get away from my car. And she kept trying to talk. I'm like, get away from my car. Just get away from my car. So she went about her business. And I went, you know, did what I had to do with my credit card. And I came back and vacuumed up my car, which, you know, and the other sign that say, you know, 5-minute limit. So me being me, as I was getting ready to go, because I followed the rules, I said, you know, since you're so concerned about me following the rules, let me help, you know, pay you back in kind and say, you know, you're so worried about me, you've been here longer than 5 minutes. Because, you know, there's a 5-minute limit on the vacuuming station. Oh, Miss Karen got upset, Robin. She's like, well, fuck you. And I'm like,
oh, she went there.
She went there. I'm like, fuck you. I said, honey, you can handle all this. Then she really got mad. And she said, well, fuck you. And I'm like, really? I said, you know, I don't know why. I said, I know why you're so upset, but let me break it down to you. I'm really kind of tired of white people telling me what to do. And the only reason why you said anything to me in the first place, because you felt that your white privilege gave you the right to say anything to me. And it's the only reason is because I'm black. Then she really got mad. She's like, you guys? I said, are you sure you mean your guys or do you mean you people? She's like, why do you guys always go so low? I was trying to be nice to you and helpful. And I'm like, again, don't need you to be helpful. Don't need you to be the white savior in my life. Next time you see a black person and you think about trying to say something to them about anything that other than it may save their life, don't. And then she said, fuck you again. And I'm like, gee, sweetie, I thought you guys were supposed to be the more intelligent people. Can't you, you know, use your words? Don't you know how to speak better than using foul language? At that point, I was just really having fun. She was so mad at me, Robin. It's like, I am so tired of the everyday indignities that I have to suffer with just because I'm black. I am so tired of the everyday of white people who feel as though I'm an idiot and did not realize that I wasn't supposed to. But my main thing is, even if I didn't have a disabled placard, Robin, take her business where I park.
She's not the disabled placard police, is she?
No. And besides that, we were on private property. And the people who own and operate this fine establishment, if they ain't saying shit to me, who the fuck is she?
I'm just curious, did you happen to notice a mask anywhere near her?
Nope. But she did have them. She did have on gloves. I think it was more so just because she was putting her on. And now that I remember, she had her hair up in a very tight bun. I was looking for pearls too, but because.
Because clutching.
Because, you know, clutching. Of the pearls. But it's exhausting, Robin.
I know.
It really, really is. And you ask any black person, and I guarantee you, they're going to say the same thing. Especially black women. It's the micro and macro aggressions that we have to deal with. Speaking of micro, macro, just fucking straight out aggression. Did you hear about what happened? And I guess some Sesame Street themed amusement park.
Yeah, in fact, Annette showed that to me, and she's like, and showed me the commentary from the woman who kind of blew the story up and said, "I'm with her. I'd have gone full ballistic." But that's you and me. You do the backstory.
Okay, so what had happened was, so you know how if you've been to any amusement park or what have you, they have the characters, and then they have probably a character parade, and the characters come around waving and shake the little kids' hands and sometimes hug them and stuff like that, much to the children's delight. So there was a character, her name is Rosita, and I find that very troubling because if her name is Rosita, or Rosalita, or Rosita, that stands to reason that she's a Latinx sister. Because there's not many, I don't think there's any white girls named Rosita. But anywho, so Rosita is hugging up and shaking hands and smiling and wait. Well, you can't, I don't know if she's on the full-blown costume. But anyway, she's, interacting with the little white kids. So there's two little black girls, I believe, waving and trying to
get little girls
next to the white people. She's waving and trying to get her attention, and she wags her finger and says no, and she says and commences to not interact with the black child at all. And of course, it, you know, there's video.
But and wave so them and wave them off. No.
Wave them off. Like, no, you can't. I don't want those black cooties on me. Well, here, come on, little watcher. Come over here with Mr. Leader.
And of course, and this was at Sesame Place near Philly.
Philly, right.
And once the shit hit the fan, corporate got involved and said, "Oh, well." And this is where you have to do your Richard Pryor white person voice.
You got to do your Richard Pryor white guy voice.
We terribly regret this incident. It was an entire misunderstanding. You know, our characters have a rule where the characters cannot actually embrace the children, and can't hold them for pictures, and that was what Rosita was waving off. This is such an unfortunate incident, and everybody involved was like, no, that was not what happened. We were there. There's all kinds of video. That ain't it.
There's all kinds of video, motherfuckers.
And then they ghosted the mama.
Mm-hmm. That part. How do my Cracker Barrel ghost me, Robin?
Well, the fact that it was Sesame Place.
Sesame, the whole purpose, see, the whole premise, about Sesame Street was about equality, it was about inclusion. I mean, come on, they had an autistic Muppet. You can't get too much more inclusive than that.
Yeah, I guess the theme park is separate and apart from, but there's got to be some Sesame Street suits. I like to think that the suits at Sesame Street wear, like, you know, purples and yellows, and who are bound to be. What the hell do they think they're doing to our brand?
To our brand.
I mean, there's back when Sesame Street first started, there are little white children who are now my age who saw their first people of color on Sesame Street.
On Sesame Street. That part. Hell, those people my age, that was the first time they saw people of color that looked like, first time they saw somebody that looked like them on television. That part.
And I admit, I saw the footage and it was like, Marjorie Taylor Greene, is that you in that costume? Is that you, Clanny Oakley?
Clanny Oakley, yes. Clanny Oakley.
And if that joke makes it to any of the like late night shows or Comedy Central or anything, somebody let me know. I'm filing for royalties. You heard it here first.
Yeah, because I'm tired. I'm tired of hearing. You know, I don't watch a lot of, you know, mainstream media when it comes to the news, but I know damn well there's been a time or two or three or four or five that I heard shit on your show, only that somebody in our whole family said, yep, Robin, they don't do it again, Robin. They done stole your shit. Did I say it right?
I was going to say, did you mean to say it that way?
Yes, I did. They done stole your shit. That part. Yeah, I just. And then you hear these motherfuckers that talk about we need more white people. And they act as this is this replacement theory that, you know, that these fucking aggrieved white folks. White people, white fools, whatever, who feel, oh my God, there's gonna be less of us.
I mean, who do these Republicans think has the disposable income to go out and get their tubes tied or a vasectomy?
Seriously, And you know what? So I think, I don't know if I told you, ever told this story, you know, because when I had Alex, did not want to have children. And in all honesty, had my mom not found out I was pregnant, after I had tried, it was crazy. I tried to have an abortion. They said that there was something happening. So I had to come back later. And then my friends, who to the, oh, he passed away. But to this day, Matt says, I didn't tell my mom that you were pregnant. And then my motherfucker, how did she find out? Because then his mother and another, you know, another, all these different people up in my uterus went to my pastor at the time and told them I was pregnant. Oh, did I mention I was grown up? Grown-ass woman. Then my mom found out I was pregnant, and that was a wrap.
Well, you know, we have to, we have discussed this in the past, and you described the circumstances and everything, and I said, I'm, and I said, and his middle, is his middle name, is his middle name Houdini?
Yes, because, you know, when I did, when I got pregnant, it was crazy, because, so I was on a pill using a sponge to the spot and the sperm donor, which uses a condom, and somehow I got pregnant. But anyway, after I had Alex, I'm like, I'm done. I don't want no more kids. You know, I was 22 when he was born. And my white, little cisgender doctor said, well, Miss Cordy, you know you're going to change your mind. You so young. You don't want to go get your tubes tied. Because you're going to change your mind. You're going to want to have more babies. Okay, so Alex turned 34 in May, and he is still an only child. Did I ever change my mind, Robin?
I'm guessing that's a no.
I just, and this is, you know, of course, this is before I heard about autonomy, and, you know, and all that, because I guarantee you, had I known about, you know, because, of course, I'm, and of course, I was 22, I was young, and you listen to your doctor. And I just said, okay, this is, if my doctor says that I shouldn't get my tubes tied, he obviously knows what he, is that black people with trimming their tits? What?
Did your inner monologue just get loose?
I was driving down the street, actually south of the boulevard. So I live in Encino. So there's Encino where I live, and then there's Encino south of the boulevard where the, where the highfalutin folks, you know, like this is high cotton folks live.
Mm-hmm.
And I just saw, because now I am south of the boulevard, and I just saw two, not one, but two black men, and they weren't robbing the place. Obviously, because they were taking the trash out, who lived in that apartment, in that house. I was just like, and I they waved, and I waved back, because we're both shocked. We're all three of us shocked. To see, you know, black people. Well, you know, and so that's why I'm sorry. I said, the fuck? Because it doesn't happen often. It does not. So when you see black people, it's a time of rejoicing. Especially
it's a time of rejoicing.
It's like having a Juneteenth every day. What?
I didn't say nothing.
Freedom! It's like, okay, I'm going to stop. Are we ever going to do... What was our bit that we were going to do?
Oh. Jesus, what was that? I'm trying to remember now. Because I got very close to doing it last night and then decided I wouldn't.
Yeah, because you need me.
Yeah. Not something I can do by myself.
No. Oh, damn. It was something about... Oh! It was about how the wokeness of the Klan and we didn't vote for the... It was about Herschel Walker.
Yeah, it was a Herschel Walker joke. That's what it was. All of... Yeah, no, Tracy and I were just riffing on Herschel. And you know, if he beats Senator Warnock, it'll be on the white vote. And you can just imagine the Klansmen all down to the clavern going, I done voted for Herschel. Klegel going to be so proud of me.
Right. And then I said, well, see, because I took it to the whole other level. I said, see, I voted for the Negro. And see, so I was woke.
That's woke. And he clean, too.
And he clean, too.
Oh, shit. I should have said.
I needed that.
Grand Dragon, I tell you what, I was talking to the Grand Dragon the other day. He said, I ain't never been so proud to vote for one of them.
Right. But see, that Herschel Walker boy, well, hell, he won the good one.
Yeah, that too.
And he played football. That's God's thing, you know?
Yeah, football teaches you morals and characters and how to have lots of children that you don't acknowledge and shit.
And how to teach your wife to keep her in check.
Teach a teach a woman her place.
Perfect, because those women folks have the audacity. And I can't say called Cassidy because I don't know if he's ever been with a white woman in like when he has, but they have those women that have the all black.
Noble Cyclops, and, I think he has been with a white woman or two.
Oh no! Wait, see now we might have to rethink this situation, huh?
No. It's all right. Because Clarence Thomas, he's another one of them good ones, and he's up there in Washington, D.C., and he's on the Supreme Court, and he's been miscegenating all over the place, and they ain't no problem. Because, see, I don't think they had no cheering, did they?
Well, I don't think so. So they.
Because that don't. Because if they ain't no youngins, they ain't no miscegenating.
Right. And then they ain't put populating the earth with those brown babies. Because, see, Clarence is kind of dark, so I don't know if Jenny's whiteness can lighten them up well enough for them to pass. What?
I can't with you.
Why did you get so quiet?
I can't with you.
You get so quiet.
I can't with you.
Why come you got so quiet?
Why for you gotta kill my... No, stop it. Don't you go all Hollywood shuffle on me.
Why for come now you kill... Hello! Robert Townsend is an unsung genius. Why for come you kill my...
See, I'm not going to do the voice. I can do it, but I'm not going to because I'm all woke and shit, right?
You're all woke. You know. Jimmy Wolf. Why for come you kill? I can't do it.
Hoe cakes. Everybody love hoe cakes. Hoe got to eat, too.
Hoe got to eat, too. The late, great John Witherspoon.
Oh, my. Batty.
You know, years after, you know, a while after he did Hollywood Shuffle, I was heading west on the 10th freeway, and there was Robert Townsend driving alongside of me in the same red Mustang convertible that he had in the movie.
Be damned.
Yeah, so that, you know, he was still probably, you know, because he maxed out all of his credit cards.
Oh, yeah.
To make the movie. And just to think this, you know, you see a young Keenan Ivory Wayans and a young, what's the other Wayans?
Damon.
Damon. They see? Keenan Ivory Wayans and Damon Wayans. Before they became, wow. But back to Herschel Walker now, you know, the Klavan, it was hard for them.
I want you to know I have never been prouder to vote for one of them than I was voting for Herschel.
Because, you know, like I said, we've come a long way, baby.
I look at Herschel, and I think it's almost worth it letting him vote.
What?
Dr. King's dream has been fulfilled.
Has been fulfilled.
I just love that one little, you know, I was talking to the noble Cyclops, and he's just so proud of me for voting Herschel.
I didn't know I had it in me. I didn't know that I could ever vote for a Negro. But there's Herschel Walker, and I have to, because Herschel's a patriot. He knows his fate.
Well, I mean, he did play for the New Jersey Generals back when Donald Trump done bought the team and him.
Well, there you go. He went to the higher bidder, the highest bidder. Come on, now he's on the auction.
There's your free market for you.
Mm-hmm. You can still buy a certain Negro. That could be Clarence Thomas. That would be Herschel Walker. That would be Michael Steele. That would be Larry Elder. That would be Corleone Noir. That would be Candace Owens. That would be Jesse Lee Peterson.
Yeah, you mentioned Jesse Lee. Now, I think it was last week we got to talk. Jesse Lee may be having some problems.
Do tell.
Well, you know, he's all part of the men's rights movement and everything.
Oh.
And now one of them men's has come forward and said that Jesse Lee has had a man in his mouth.
Shouldn't we say that?
No, we've been predicting it for years.
Well, God damn it, we were just sitting there. We were sitting there with the popcorn, waiting. Just wait, because we knew I remember the first time I heard audio of him on your show, and I swear to Jesus, Robin, I thought it was a joke.
You thought it was a bit.
I thought it was a bit. And then as I started listening to him more and more, I thought about that movie Bernie, and he's like, that boy lied in his loafer. And so I knew it.
But it's especially sweet because he's all about how this is gay and that's gay and
right.
Yeah.
Because you know, especially for black men, I'm not gay. I just sleep with men. What? And then you know that the highest rate of new people who have contracted HIV and AIDS are black and Latinx women, because of all they men being on, especially on ones coming out of jail, being on a fucking down low. And having, look, you know what? Do you boo?
There we go.
How can ever, when you do your other boo, or whomever, glove up, bitch. Because to bring that shit home to your wife or your girlfriend, and then the worst ones is that they don't get it as bad, but the wife or the girlfriend fucking gets it and dies.
There.
Nobody dies from HIV anymore, AIDS, but back in the day they did. But just the fact that you're coming, you know, it's like, to me, it is, I don't know what, I tell me a word that's not just beyond whatever. I just can't think of the words, you know, words like this, you know, words escape me at the moment. But when men come home after laying with they with their piece, their side piece, who happens to be of the same gender as they are, and they have unprotected. It's bad enough when men have unprotected heterosexual sex and come home to their wives or their girlfriends. But they come home and, because my sister, well, okay, I'm not going to say, but a friend of mine, their husband cheated on them on a regular basis. And finally happened that the last, you know, she wound up with some horrible uterine, not cancer, but what, because of all the fucking around and all the unprotected sex he had, she wound up damn near dying. Because, and now can't have any more kids. Not that she would want to, but still. That's her option. So it's like, look, if you're going to cheat, guys, at least have the common decency to wear a fucking condom. Because I know it's not that hard to put on. Hell, I mean, it's been a minute, but hell, I know how to put one on with my mouth. At least I did. Make that part of the fair play. Robin, you got real quiet.
No, I'm just...
I'm just saying.
Well, I know. I mean, sometimes I have to listen and learn.
But it's like fucking Jesse Lee Peterson. The most noble, most high Negro of Negroes, who wishes to the fiber of his being that he was born a white man. He was cursed with the blackness. The curse of, what is it, the curse of Ham?
Yeah, that would be the curse of Ham.
Oh, my God. Well, at least was the man he had in his mouth, was at least a white, was at least a white penis?
Pretty sure it was.
You know. So he could be seen white by erection? What?
No, I got nothing. No, I got nothing.
Why do you go so quiet on me? Are you?
Because I am desperately trying to stay the hell out of trouble. That's why. You are leading me down the path of unrighteousness. For your own sake.
For my own sake. Oh, I mean, I don't know. I mean, okay, now I'm putting this out to the Horn family. Because I done scared Robin and she don't really care to travel. Am I wrong?
No. We're going to be having... Hey, no. I just want to know how all these super ultra double plus extra good straight Christians are going to handle, well, that's probably a bad term, somebody like Jesse Lee.
Oh God, I haven't laughed this hard in a long time.
I have a feeling you needed it.
Oh, I needed it. I had to literally ready or excuse. Like I said, tomorrow I'm taking the day. Well, I'm kind of worked out. So tomorrow I was supposed to get up at the crack of dawn.
Now hold on. No, that's at least a half of one.
But crack. I had to go pick up, I was supposed to pick up my auntie tomorrow morning, literally at 4 o'clock in the morning, to take her to the airport. And then I was good, and then I still...
Are we okay with that? Are we okay with that? I mean...
What?
Is this the good auntie?
Oh, yes, I wouldn't take everyone else motherfuckers anywhere. No. You're like, bitch, you better get you an Uber. So no, this is.
You see an Uber decal in my car? Do you see an Uber decal?
Yeah, this is like the last of the Jones girls. she was my grandmother's sister. She is my grandmother's. My grandmother was her sister, and her father. My grandmother's father remarried, so she was my grandmother's half sister. So my grandfather, my great grandfather, had four daughters. My grandmother and my auntie Ruby, who were, you know, full on sisters. And then when he remarried, it was my auntie Devette, and my auntie Niecy. My grandmother died first, and then my aunt. I'm still not remembering if my aunt Ruby Mae or my aunt Devette, auntie Devette died first, who preceded who in death. But suffice to say, all three of them have since, you know, are now deceased. My aunt Niecy, even though, you know, she's younger than my mother, because my mom's going to be 73 this year, and my auntie Niecy turned 65 this year. But she is, my mother's the matriarch of the family as far as how old she is. But my auntie Niecy is the last of my great aunts. She's my great auntie Niecy. And then those other two bitches, whatever. So Auntie Niecy is cooler than fuck. She's one of those people will cuss you out and not even have used like one cuss word. And you're just lying there in the heat. But even if you were right, right, and she has dressed you down so badly, you're apologizing to her, okay? So I was going to pick her up tomorrow morning and then do my school run. And then we're going to take, I was taking the rest of the day off tomorrow because Jan and I were going to go to the casino of San Manuel out in Highland. Well, so I got to thinking about it, and I'm like, I got to drop off my auntie Niecy. I don't think I really feel like working after that. So I called my supervisor to tell him I'm not working. And then right after that, he needed to come both of my morning and afternoon school run. And I kid you not 5 minutes after my auntie Niecy called me. I mean, after I called Patrick, my auntie Niecy called me and says, "You're not going to have to worry about picking me up tomorrow because I tested positive for COVID." Did that forget to mention that we were all around Auntie Niecy all weekend because it was a family reunion? And I'm like, fuck. But guess what? Your girl Tracy has a COVID. I keep a COVID test in my car. For just such research circumstances as this, I don't have COVID. That's the good thing. So I'm good. So then I called, you know, because I was like, oh, I got to make these phone calls about, you know, COVID and all that. So, no, I don't have COVID. My auntie Niecy has COVID. But it's like she has that COVID that she's fine. She's asymptomatic. But still. And I forgot where was I going with this? Fuck. There had to be a reason why I was going into this story. For somebody who did not get COVID, why do I have COVID brain? This is annoying.
It might not be. I'm going to not answer that. Not on the grounds that it could tend to incinerate me.
Incinerate me. So anyway, I don't know where I was going with this, but anyway. Oh, and I don't know. I think we have to do with yesterday, too. Oh, my God. Oh, well.
Well, I got a story for you here. This one, happy ending stories.
Wait, happy ending, like at the end of a massage happy ending?
Well, no. Quit it.
Well, you gotta be more specific.
I mean, that shit's illegal anyway.
After the conversation and the way Mississippi
is down one racist pig.
Hip hip hurrah!
The board of aldermen took a vote in Lexington, Mississippi, Stan, and they shit-canned their former police chief, Sam Dobbins.
Well, the man's name was Dobbins, so...
So the reason they did so was because they had a recording of him saying...
Oh, no.
That word...
You mean ginger, please?
All the same letters. And he said, well, it wasn't even me. But then former Lexington police officer Robert Lee Hooker, no word on whether he's any kin to John Lee Hooker, but never mind. That neck of the woods, he might be. But former Lexington police officer Robert Lee Hooker made the recording, and he said, oh, no, that's the chief. And by the way, I quit. This is a toxic work environment. And I mean, this is just how, and you know, not all cops, okay, but you know, content warning, trigger warning. The Mississippi Center for Investigative Reporting had the recording of the moment.
I don't give a fuck if you kill a motherfucker cold blood. I will articulate to fix the fucking problem. And I'm the only man in the business here that's smart enough to do it. I have shot and killed in the line of duty 13 different people.
You
shot
that nigga 119 times.
Okay? I mean, I saved 67 kids in a vehicle was shot 319 times. But he was hit 119 times by me.
Bragging about shooting a human being 119 times. Yeah. Because he's a lawman. He's the only one who got to be smart enough to do that.
And what is this qualified immunity that gives cops the right?
Well, they managed. It took a three to two vote, but they did manage to ditch him.
But see, and this those police reform laws, law enforcement reform laws that you know was supposed to be happening. See, that's supposed to be a database that now he's supposed to be on, so he should never be able to be hired by any ever police force ever in this fucking, that's the state, the fucking country. But no. Because, you know, I was watching Dateline. It was an older episode, and it's about this young, I believe he was a South Indian young man, who was murdered by this white boy. Cut and dry, open up a check case, whatever. And first, they didn't even really investigate it because obviously he was doing. They found his body in the forest with no clothes on, and all. Bottom line was the white boy did it. He lied like 3 or 4 times about it, and the jury came. I was watching, and the jury came back with a guilty verdict, but the judge threw out the verdict. Said that the basically. That the jury didn't know what they were doing.
Lord God. Oh, and by the way, based on something I said earlier, I wanted to share with you, Matt in San Francisco, the subject line, AIDS. People still die from it. Also, the long-range effects of drug cocktails take a toll on people's bodies. My high school friend was one of the first to be saved by the cocktail. However, he died of liver failure a couple of years ago. It's hard for the body to process all those drugs for years and years. Much love. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Matt.
And well, we had a dear friend here in the network whose life was saved, but ultimately wound up having a heart attack out of the cocktail because it drove his cholesterol and triglycerides through the roof.
Right. I mean.
And Lord, hardly a day goes by that Annette and I don't think of and remember Peter Godbold.
I just think of my, so speaking of drugs and diseases that, you know, only certain people support, you know, the version of the ethnic cleansing drugs. So this whole monkeypox thing. So remember, I had to endure a weekend with my Trumper brother-in-law. And for the most part, he was okay. But we were at dinner, and the first night, and he was going to try to do a monkeypox joke. And he was something about, and I just, he was saying, you know, I've read the reason. I said, where did you get your, because he was trying to say something. And before I got him, I said, where did you, I said, exactly where did you, what is your source? Full News? I couldn't help it because he's one of these people, you know, those kind of type of men that know every fucking thing, no matter what the subject is. You know, I've read a book about this, or I know about this because, you know, Jen and I are going to Panama in a couple of weeks. Oh, yeah, I read a book about the Panama, and I'm like, bitch, I don't care. But we sat through, was pretty much a miserable dinner. Not really, but he just wouldn't shut up. He knows about, and, you know, I thought maybe it was just me because I have no patience when it comes to him. So I asked one of my, you know, my brother, just my brother's girlfriend. And I said, again, am I the asshole? Is it? And she's like, no, it's him. And it's just a fucking annoying. It just really, really is. But anyway, tell me again about, so like I said, I'm going to do, is it on the head on?
Well, I mean, the challenge isn't that just goes from day to day, but
No.
The PayPal button's right there at head-on.live.
So I could do the subscription through PayPal or through Patreon,
yeah.
Or what?
No, through PayPal. That's fine.
Okay.
It just says, you know, you put in the amount and then just check the little box and away you go.
Okay, because I want it to be done for tomorrow, so I'll do it tomorrow on my birthday. But on that note, since tomorrow is my birthday, I'll be 56. Oh my God, I'll be 56 years old tomorrow. So instead of me trying to do, do a ciphering thing, I'm going to make it easy and do a half challenge. So
okay.
I'm going to round it up to 6 to 30. So if somebody matches it to 30, then it'll be 60. Right.
So if somebody will kick in $30, you'll do another 30, and that'll be 60, and and we will not be goose egg for this evening, because right now we're goose egg.
Well, that's some bullshit. I'm sorry. No. Actually, it is. Come on, people. Now, I'm giving her Robin a gift for my birthday. Come on now. At least try to meet the $30 challenge, and if all goes well at the casino tomorrow, maybe there might be a little something extra. That part. But there can't be, it's like, you know, look, we are in some dark times, y'all. Seriously scary dark times. The fascism is growing daily. And it's going to affect people that look like me and look like Robin more than it's going to affect any a lot of other people. Those for you people who can quote unquote blend. Robin and I can't blend. We stand out as soon as we walk in a fucking room. But we need people like Robin and John Vitero and all these other people who are calling out to, you know, are sending out the messaging and stuff like that. So come on, you guys. We go through this every day, every week, every month, every year for Robin. And she should not have to beg for what we need, for what she needs. Y'all quit playing. Now it's like, and I know it's times is tough. I am fortunate that I'm not suffering like a whole lot of other people. I am blessed. I am fortunate. I am privileged to a certain extent. I have some privilege. But the bottom line is my privilege only extends so far. My privilege does not keep me from being harassed by Karens. I forgot to tell you the other day, I'm at the grocery store, right? And the security guard was walking around. Do you know the security? I was looking at Rainier Cherry. And do you know that motherfucker stood there the whole time I was looking at the fruit? Did not move.
You're kidding.
And then I kid you fucking not.
Well, of course you're not kidding.
And then, and then the other day, you know, one of the activities that we had for the reunion, we went bowling. Now, this is a huge bowling alley, okay? So we had, because there was like 30 of us or so bowling, so we had five lanes, okay? And do you know the security guard did not stood right at our lanes the whole time? Isn't the security guard supposed to patrol?
Yeah, pretty much.
But he stood fast at his post, which was not his post, because there was a whole group of black folks up in the bowling alley. And see, this is the kind of shit that y'all don't, people like that don't look like me. I call y'all, you know, the non-melanated or the melanin challenge or what have you. You don't have to deal with these every day, every hour upon the hour indignity. You can go to the store and not get watched. I am a soon-to-be, as of tomorrow, 56-year-old, middle-aged, overweight black woman. But you're standing there watching me like I'm about to steal some fucking cherries, motherfucker. I can probably buy and sell you. But yeah, you always think you see, you don't see somebody that's just going shopping and going to get some cherries. No, you see a black person and you're going to weaponize my skin color because I'm a fucking thug. I'm a fucking criminal. Automatically. Straight out. You don't know shit about me. But because you see a black person, it's automatically they're going to steal.
Yeah, but you know what? Okay, so here's the thing, though. It's kind of taken for granted that people will check and see if the damn things are sweet or sour.
Right.
But I guess they were going to run you in.
That's kind of what I had planned to do, because those bitches were not worth it. Like $7 a pound, motherfucker. I'm not going to buy something that's $7 a pound and the shit ain't right. You know,
no, because then you go home and you're like, I'm going to wait, and you put them in a brown paper bag and you're like, I'm going to wait till they ripen. And right. then like a week and a half later, you go, oh, forgot about those.
Uh-huh. When you see the fruit flies, you know, hovering around the bag, it's like, you have to be more careful.
Right, exactly. Hey, I want to bring something up with you real quick, because you're involved. Everybody knows you're involved in a same-sex marriage. You have a same-sex marriage. You are married.
And biracial, interracial.
Well, you know that the House passed a bill yesterday regarding same-sex marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And they passed it by a pretty convincing margin. There were even, and I kid you not, 49 Republicans who voted in favor. That's what the Family Research Council was so upset about all evening yesterday and all day today. 49 mm-hmm. Republicans. It passed 267 to 157. So it goes to the Senate with substantial. It goes to the Senate with substantial Republican support. And Chuck Schumer says he'll bring it to the floor immediately, expeditiously. Four Republicans have gotten on board. Susan Collins, Rob Portman, who doesn't have to worry about facing voters in Ohio anymore. Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, and Thom Tillis, who is himself is bailing out of North Carolina. And so if you assume that Joe Manchin doesn't fuck America on this vote and Kirsten Sinema, that means there's 54 votes and you need, yeah, that means there's 54 votes and you need six more to overcome filibuster. So the search for six Republicans is on.
Well,
and so a CNN reporter, Igor Bobik, Huffington Post, not CNN, Igor Bobik started calling around Republican Senate offices. Noted famous wearer of bread bags on her shoes and hog deballer, Joni Ernst of Iowegia, said, well, I haven't seen the House bill, but I'm keeping an open mind. And so Bobik asked her, well, do you support marriage equality? And she said, I have a good number of very close friends that are same-sex married. Senator Mike Rounds of South Dakota. Senator Mike Rounds of South Dakota said, I don't think the House gay marriage bill is necessary. I think there's a difference between matrimony as a sacrament and a legal marriage, and if so, if someone wants to do that type of a partnership, I'm not opposed. You'll notice it's a partnership. It's not a marriage in his mind. Roy Blunt, who also is not going to be facing voters anymore, said, well, I support gay marriage, but I want to look at the House bill. It's current. Gay marriage is currently protected by the House. You numbnuts.
So with abortion.
Yeah, right. And Mitt Binders Full of Women Romney is non-committal. Bishop Willard said, given the fact that the law is settled on this, I don't think we need to lose sleep over it unless there are a development that suggested the law is going to be changed. Well, dumbass, that development was the concurrence of Slappy Thomas and Dobbs saying it's time to get rid of marriage equality. But, and I'm going somewhere with all of this, you know, back in 2004 when Bishop Willard was still governor of Massachusetts, Stan, it was Massachusetts, Stan, back then, because Bishop Willard was the governor.
They have universal health care?
Romney Care. I included it, grudgingly, in the Stan states back then because, Republican. But then, so he was kind of like old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan, and how he refused to acknowledge the AIDS crisis back in the 80s. Back in the early aughts, Bishop Willard would not meet with any LGBTQ families. And then he finally relented, and when the gay parents came in 2004, he said, well, I didn't know you had families. So if Ernst and Blunt and Rounds actually brought it, that would bring it to 57, but you still need three more Republicans. So, and this is the point I wanted to get to, because it's actually been a philosophical debate. It's as I understand it, and others could, it can make it clearer for me. The question of to out or not to out a person against their will.
I couldn't do it.
I understand that the generally speaking, it is considered to be horrible form to out someone against their will. Some people argue, however, that there is a caveat, and that is if you run around doing things that are actively toxic to the gay community, and you're doing gay stuff on the DL. Then you get busted.
I can't. Okay, here's the thing. I can't, because I've never been closeted, so I can't speak on that. I came into my identity, you know, later in life. I had nothing to lose and all that. So I'll ask Jan. Okay, Jan, I have a question for you. With all this stuff that's going on in the Senate and the government and all these fools that are, you know, running around who, you know, are saying anti-gay things in public but sucking dick and carpet munching in private, should they be outed, especially when this legislation like this is going to be trying, when they're trying
well,
to...
Well, I have I have a specific example coming here.
Okay. Should they be, because I know in this community that to out somebody against their will is just a no-no. But in this day and age, the way things are happening, and we got legislation to try to save, you know, same-sex marriage, should we out people? Well, she's thinking, y'all. She's thinking.
What kind of person am I, are you talking
to? A fucking Republican, are we not, Robin?
Oh, I'm going to get there, yes.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Somebody that's, you know, basically, you know, openly saying...
Okay, let's go ahead and do this.
They're against it, but they're gay.
Uh-huh.
They're against it, but they're gay.
Yeah, they're
closeted. They're closeted.
They're closeted. Uh-huh.
I think outing people depends on the circumstance.
Okay, well, here's the circumstance. Tell Jan, here's the circumstance. When Igor Bobik, the reporter, called the Senate office of Lindsey Graham.
Lindsey Graham, okay. Ms. Lindsey?
Lindsey Graham said, I will support the Defense of Marriage Act. Now, the Defense of Marriage Act is what the Supreme Court overturned that said marriage is between a man and a woman.
Right.
And... So he's a no vote on and understand this bill that was passed does not federally does not make marriage a federal right, marriage equality. It just says that the marriage is heretofore celebrated cannot be dissolved.
Right.
By a Supreme Court ruling. So
but those are the people who are already married.
Right. Doesn't help me out there shopping for wedding dresses. That's a joke.
No, it does not. I know.
But the thing is, Lindsey's been kind of an open... the closet door's open, but he's still in it. It's kind of an open secret.
Closet, I mean, it's one of the worst, best-kept secrets ever. Because we all know that Miss Lindsey is, you know... She wakes up probably with a man in her mouth, or somebody wakes up with her manhood... It's different. I don't know.
Lindsey Graham?
Yeah, Lindsey Graham.
You think
he's
gay?
Oh, honey. Your gaydar is... Okay.
Is Jan's gaydar going to have to go in the shop?
They will.
Yeah, your gaydar is got to go into the shop, baby, if you don't realize that Miss Lindsey is as what you said is light, you know, light and local. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Okay. She was being, that was sarcasm.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Let's, and we can, you know, let's eschew some of the more tawdry terms if possible. But no, I will support the Defense of Marriage Act. And then, Marco Rubio, who, by the way, is running for re-election. Bobik said, Marco Rubio told me he's a no on the House's same-sex marriage bill, calling it a stupid waste of time.
No. Nobody.
See, these people, is little Marco Rubio, is he closeted?
I don't think so. But okay. No, so Matt in San Francisco says, Jan's disqualified. Her gaydar tune-up is covered under the gay agenda. She might want to know that. Sometimes the gaydar needs tuned up. Thank you, Matt. But you know, that's odious. And if there are any, and now that he's saying that, you know, because even, you know, even young single gay boys who might like be involved in sex work, they think that, you know, I imagine some of them think that someday they might like to get married.
Yeah.
And maybe when they hear that Lindsay's a... Oh, I'm getting... A hard no. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Maybe some of them will want to say, might want to tell folks about some enchanted evenings they've had with Lindsay.
That they have with Lindsay. Well, it's like we talked about, like with Jesse Lee Peterson and all these people and all the right reverends that have been caught in bathroom stalls and all these other places that they should not be. But the worst ones, and it's the worst ones, especially when it comes to when they talk about, like, the groomers, and when they talk about groomers, they're referring to people like you and me and
but not,
you
know, Reverend Alfonso but not Reverend Alfonso Joseph, who began the program with a 15-year-old boy in his mouth.
In his mouth.
Pastor, Reverend, Minister Alfonso Joseph.
Reverend?
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, by the way, I don't know, you heard me yesterday. We have a new addition.
Yes.
To the family, and her name is Miss Luna.
And Miss Luna, is a friend for...
Well, so sort of, kind of, what had happened was my cousin is... in the middle of training to, she passed everything to get her seat, her commercial driver's license. But the program that is up in, she still has like another month of training in Tennessee. And when she accepted this position, she was, her boyfriend, her baby daddy was living with her and her little girl. And it was working out that he would take care of the dog and the little girl and everything would be cool. Well, he left. And so that meant she had to scramble for a dog, you know, somebody that could watch the dog, because her little girl was going to be in Atlanta with family friends. So she had one friend that could watch the dog, but then she got sick and the dog wound up being boarded. And that was, you know, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, she was freaked out that she was going to get rid of Luna. And so me and Jan took her on. The only problem is Luna is 6 months old and is not housebroken.
Oh, that's a lot of work.
Yes.
Is Luna a large dog?
No. Well, she's a pit, I think. She's mixed with something, I don't know. And you hear Jan.
Sounds like Jan's losing the battle.
Well, she's outside, but she's jumping on the screen. And right. So. So yeah. So Kimber wants to go potty. Luna's like, because Luna wants to come in, but she needs to stay out for a little while. And so yeah. So I'm gonna go because this is a comedy. You can't write this. You can't make this shit up. So we are trying. I'll send pictures of her. She's a sweetheart. She's a beautiful dog, but she's 6 months old and has no discipline.
No, they don't. Yeah. They don't at that age. They just don't. Some mature a little faster than others, but no, not at 6 months. Well, Tracy, thank you so much. By the way, your challenge got met. And I'm so happy to announce that Kevin and Tracy jumped in, and Ralph's jumped in, and Silent R jumped in, and so that means that let's see, that means we went from 795 to 670 for a fundraising call.
Awesome. Well, I'm gonna go because now I'm getting yelled at.
Okay, you better run. Talk to you later. Bye now. So thank you. Thank you, Kevin and Tracy. Thank you, Ralphs, and thank you, Tracy. And thank you, Silent R, Silent R volunteering earlier via email to Jesse Lee Peterson. If I ever meet him in person, I will do things that involve finding things that aren't supposed to be in his mouth. Best not to say that kind of thing on the air, Silent R. But thank you, thank you. And explaining the to out or not to out. Matt in San Francisco says, "I'm in this camp. If you're a public figure with power and actively working against the LGBTQ community, LGBTQ plus community, then I'm sorry, but you're Blanche and you're going to be outed." Well, if there was ever a time, this is the time. It is time for the photographs, it's time for the audio recordings, and it's time to just once and for all end all the not particularly scintillating speculation about Lindsey Graham. "I will support the defense of my child. And I will never go horny again." They're hungry. Sorry. Yeah, you're right. Randy Radar, you did do that. I told the community to give every last dime to independent media. Meanwhile, people were spending money, going on vacation as if nothing mattered. Well, people need to get away. People need a respite, Randy. I know you know that. It's just hard to not be, if you can't tune out a little bit once in a while. I know that intimately well. Yeah, Lee in New York pointing out, Miss Lindsay may be gay, but he's definitely not happy. Tell Tracy that know-it-all Ophelia stems back to at least the 18th century. Stems. The first recorded instance was attributed to Lord Applebottom in Kent County, England. Now that is arcane. That is our freaking cane. But back to Marco Rubio for a minute. Now this is a bill that would not make marriage equality the law of the land. It would just protect the marriages that have heretofore been celebrated. Marco Rubio has vociferously supported Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis' Don't Say Gay bill. He campaigned with the bloody shirt of the Pulse nightclub in hand, and then did precisely nothing to protect either the gay community or anybody else from gun violence in Florida or anywhere else. The House same-sex marriage bill, he says, is a stupid waste of time. And I don't know how I missed this, but goodness gracious sakes alive. Last week, Marco Rubio, who likes to tweet Bible verses, Marco introduced a bill in the Senate that would require, and at first blush you go, well, hell yeah, God damn, let them learn their lesson. It would require men to provide child support from the moment of conception. Now, how one establishes that moment, the court systems would just love Marco Rubio for that. But it's a backdoor misogyny bill, because it would effectively make the law of the land that fetuses, you know, part of the, you know, little freaking sea monkeys or less, have all the rights that obtain with regard to fully actualized, able to live, breathe, eat, and so forth on their own human beings. A fetus would have the same rights as you. Yeah. And now we're down to $6.65. Oh, only $1. Overshot it by a dollar, Emilio. But we're down to $665 to go in fundraising. So we're looking at $965 tomorrow, Thorn in the Side Thursday. And I hope, maybe the overnight crew would like to step in on that. But Marco Rubio is up for re-election. Wouldn't it be nice to be shed of Marco Rubio in the Senate? Get rid of Rubio, get rid of Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and that thing on his head. Get rid and add in John Fetterman in Pennsylvania. That's three. Tim Ryan in Ohio, that's four. North Carolina is five. Wisconsin is six. Missouri is seven. How many times have I said it? Dare to dream. And so we find ourselves at the close of the program. It's been a whale of a prayer meeting Wednesday. Les noting Uncle got a ruckus in his mouth. And because it's Jesse Lee, we know damn well the ruckus was why. Well, yeah, because of course. Okay. That gets a cowbell, Les. Thank you all for joining in the program this evening, and thank you for joining in via the podcast. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors this evening and every evening. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. Thank you in the chat room this evening. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. Best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is HeadOn.live. Hey, Will in the chat room. Good to see you, my friend. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Keep your chin up, brother. We can win this fight if we do not surrender to malaise. Or mayonnaise, for that matter. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of the folks of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. Got to get that binary out of my system. CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Now a proud union shop. And please, get your second booster. It's a wise choice. Wear your mask in crowded public areas. Wash your hands, don't touch your face. Maintain your social distance. Like Paul from Parts Unknown says, 15 to 20 feet if you possibly can. And if somebody in a hoop skirt comes along and you see him coming down the street and I say, I will defend the Defense of Marriage. I will support the Defense of Marriage Act. Avoid that gooey, that gooey bale like the plague, because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.